Sahavayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaritamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So we start the study guide. Division of Sri Ishupanishad mantras according to Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. You have this? Sambandha, relationship, invocation, mantras 4 and 8 and 5, mantra 8, mantra 14, Abhideya, process, mantras 1 to 3, 9, 11 and from 15 to 18. And Prayojana, result, mantra 6 and 8 and 7, mantra 10 and 12 and 13. Introduction. In his introduction, Srila Prabhupada establishes the Vedas as an absolute authority regarding all spiritual and material matters. His Divine Grace ascertains three kinds of evidences, pramanas, accepted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, namely pratyaksha, sense perception, anumana, reasoning, and shabda, submissive hearing from genuine spiritual authority.
It says these three kinds of evidences are accepted by Gaudiya Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
Are there other people who have more kinds of evidences?
Yeah. I think even... in one of Jiva Goswami's books, he accepts also history, historical references. And if you look the Sadarshanas, they accept different kinds of pramanas. So this is all pramana, evidence. But in our Sampradaya, we accept mainly three, Shabda, Pratyaksha, and Anumana. Different people accept different things, even in the Vedic context.
Okay.
Even if you look at the Shardarshanas, Nyayas and Vaisheshikas, and Sankhyas and Yogis, they accept different types. But Shabda is always the main.
Everyone accepts Shabda?
Yes, everybody. Because, you see, there is what is called Astika philosophy and Nyastika. Nastika. Astika means it is so. That means they accept the Vedas as authority. So all the six schools, they accept the authority of the Vedas. So they accept Shabda in a certain sense. Not necessarily the way we will accept it, but mm-hmm. they do accept some kind of authority coming from the Vedas. And Nastikas, they don't accept the Vedas at all. That means the Buddhists, the Jains, the Charvakas, they reject the Vedas. So that's why they are called. That means... it is not so nasty. Yes.
How they have introduction again, like the 10 types of.
Yeah.
And how they all fit within these three.
I will.
That's in his commentary to Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. I would assume, but I'm not sure how they fit, because I'm not even sure what kind of list he gives there, because they're different, they appear in different selections in different places. Okay. Pratyaksha and Anumana are imperfect since our senses and minds are prone to commit mistakes and to be in illusion. Shabda is faultless because it is coming down from a perfect source, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. The Vedas are spiritual sound vibrations, Shabda Pramana, and therefore they are the only way for the conditioned soul to understand what exists beyond his limited realm of material perception and reasoning. Srila Prabhupada writes, he's going to read this.
Transcendental knowledge is knowledge from beyond this universe. Within this universe is material knowledge, and beyond this universe is transcendental knowledge. There is a spiritual sky. There is another nature which is beyond manifestation and non-manifestation. But how will you know that there is a sky where the planets and inhabitants are eternal? All this knowledge is there, but how will you make experiments? It is not possible. Therefore, you have to take the assistance of the Vedas. This is called Vedic knowledge. Sri Isho Panasad, introduction.
Thank you. Yes.
So, yeah. If Pratyaksha and Anumana are imperfect and Shabda is faultless, why do we use Pratyaksha and Anumana? Why not only Shabda?
Because whatever you get from Parampara, it's meant to be applied in your life. That means you have to use reasoning. This is Shravana then Manana. You have to think, you have to contemplate how it is correct and how do you apply this in life.
Okay.
If you don't use intelligence and brain, then it will be just blind faith or sentiment. And sentiment is changing all the time. So this Anumana and Pratyaksha, they are meant to support Shabda. So
it means like on their own they're imperfect, but if they used to support Shabda, then
they
can also be
faultless.
Like
their fault, yes, if they support Shabda, they accept it as genuine source of knowledge, Pramana.
Okay.
And even Pratyaksha, we'll talk about this later. Pratyaksha can be accepted as the perfection of knowledge. In a sense. So we cannot make experiments about the spiritual world with this substance we get here in the material world, because this it acts in a different way. It's the same substance, but because it's all the Svarup Shakti of the Lord, but in the spiritual world it is Sat Chit Ananda, and here it is Asat Tachit Nirananda, and we cannot understand about the spiritual world by experimenting here with this what we've got here. That's why the only way to understand something about the spiritual world is by listening from Shastra, from authority. And when we accept this knowledge, then by Anumana, by reasoning, by our intelligence, by applying our intelligence, Vichara, then we can strengthen our understanding. And then we can reach the point where we can actually see the philosophy everywhere, directly, in our lives. And then, in this sense, Pratyaksha is the perfection of knowledge. As it is explained in Gita. Krishna says in Gita, Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. This knowledge, Rajavidya, the king of education, gives direct perception of the self. Pratyaksha Vagamam Dharmyam. And this is the perfection of Dharma. If you can see, directly perceive the self, the super self, this is the perfection of Dharma, of religion. So in this sense, Pratyaksha is not only bona fide, but it is this kind of Pratyaksha is the goal of life. But it should be based on Shabda in the same way as Prayojana is based on sambandha. Otherwise, it won't work. If you just start with pratyaksha and anumana without connection to shabda, then it is just speculation. So it should start with authoritative source, listening from the Vedas, from the Guru, and then it will develop gradually and reach sadhya, prayojan. Is that clear? Yes. So another important point here, whatever it is important for the human beings is in the Vedas. We have Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So we have Dharma, which is, we have religion, which is social structure, prescribed duties, how to interact with different people, how to depend on each other. Then you have Artha, which includes economics, morality, and then sense gratification, and then freedom from all disturbances. So everything is included in the Vedas, and the Vedas, therefore, they are compared to the mother. Everything what is needed by the child is actually in the mother. So we don't have to look anywhere else for knowledge. At least in our tradition, we have this advantage. We don't have to speculate to create our own philosophy because it's already there. Many other traditions, they don't have this advantage. For example, as we heard in the morning about the Christianity, then the Buddhists also, Buddha didn't speak about metaphysical things. He was, in fact, avoiding these talks. And they had to create their own philosophy later. So many other traditions. So we don't have this disadvantage. And better to to make good use of it. Okay, in question. The Lord and His energies are perfect and complete. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete in two ways. First, He is the complete absolute truth, Bhagavan Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Please.
Realization of impersonal Brahman or of Paramatma, the Supersoul, is incomplete realization of the absolute complete. Realization of impersonal Brahman is realization of his Sat feature, or his aspect of eternality, of eternity. And Paramatma realization is realization of his Sat and Chit features, his aspects of eternity and knowledge. But realization of the personality of Godhead is realization of all the transcendental features, Sat, Chit and Ananda, bliss. When one realizes the Supreme Person, he realizes these aspects of the Absolute Truth in their completeness. Shri Ishu Parasat, invocation for word.
Thank you. Two, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also perfect and complete. The universe has all facilities to function properly, and therefore no other unit in the universe need make any extraneous effort to try to maintain the universe. All facilities are given to the living beings as well, so that they can realize the complete whole. The human form of life is a complete manifestation of the consciousness of the living being, and this enables him to achieve the ultimate perfection in life. The human life has value only if dovetailed with the complete whole. If disengaged from the service to the Supreme Whole, the living entities cannot be happy. So what consciousness there is there in the jiva is completely manifested in the human form of life, because the animals, they don't have these facilities, this kind of intelligence. They're just eating, sleeping, mating, defending. But when the soul attains the human form of life, he gets back this intelligence that is originally given to him. And then with this full manifestation of his intelligence, he can actually realize Krishna. That's why Srila Prabhupada says in one place that the beginning of Krishna, the human form of life is the beginning of Krishna consciousness. in a sense, that it has the full capacity of understanding God. So if we are determined as human beings, if we are determined, we will move forward, we will progress, because although we are very small, the internal potency of Krishna will help us if we are determined to serve, to progress in Krishna consciousness, and will make advancement. So, Bhagavan and his energies are complete. This is the conclusion here. Bhagavan Shri Krishna is complete, and the realization of Bhagavan includes the other two realizations, Paramatma and Bhagavan and Brahman. The jivas are perfect and complete in the sense that they can understand the complete, the Supreme God. And then the material energy is perfect because it moves and it functions without any need of interference from outside. It can go like this. The universe has this capacity. It is given by Krishna. So everything is complete and perfect. And any feeling of incompleteness is born because of incomplete knowledge of the whole situation. The perfection of the Lord is additionally understood as the perfectness of his avatars. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his commentary on the invocation mantra. So we are using here the commentaries of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and some other acharyas. So please, Prabhuji, you want to read the... Okay.
The perfect avatar and the perfect avatar are complete, endowed with all energies. From the perfect avatar he appears the perfect avatars for the purpose of spreading the pastimes of the Lord. When the perfect avatar accepts a perfect form for accomplishing certain pastimes, he is still present, but in a covered form. In no circumstance is there a diminution of the perfection of the Supreme Lord.
So the avatari is Sri Krishna, and sometimes he appears in a covered form as Lord Chaitanya, but he is still the same person. There is no diminution of the perfectness of the Lord.
The avatar is Krishna and the perfect avatar.
Yeah.
Is that
included in
the universe?
As verse to all the avatars and the source of them, which is Krishna. So they're all perfect. And there is no any diminution when from the avatari, when the avatari emanates all the avatars, he doesn't diminish in quality and quantity. In this sense.
So you introduced this by saying that this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on the invocation.
Yeah. On the Narada. This is commentary on the invocation. Mantras 1 to 3, the Ishavasi principle. Mantra 1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead owns, controls, and pervades both the cosmic creation and the living beings. Knowing this, one should not claim false proprietorship over anything and should accept only his allotted quota. So, allotted quota basically means the facilities and the prescribed duties, they go together, duties and the facilities, by which every living entity can progress in life and understand the ultimate goal of life, Krishna. Yes?
How does one understand what is his allotted quota?
Well, there is the ultimate sense of the allotted quota is the ultimate duty of the living being, which is to serve Krishna. So inside of this, you have Varnashrama, and you can say these are subsidiary duties. and they depend on the nature of everybody. And as Maharaj Sholi says, Srila Prabhupada established already 5 of the 8. So inside of this, one can find what are his duties. And also the spiritual master gives also duties according to the nature of the disciple.
Can you give an example of what is accepting more than one's allotted quota?
can mean stealing. You can take something that belongs to someone else, or you can because you don't follow Rupa Goswami's principles in Upadeshamrita, one of them is Atyahara, which means overeating or over collecting. Because of material desires, you might want to take more responsibilities that are actually not meant for you. And in this way, to gain more name, fame, followers, stuff like this. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to follow another's another set of duty that is not yours. It's dangerous. Better to follow your duty with some mistakes than to follow someone else's duty perfectly. many other things, but this is some basic. So the facilities that are given to everybody in this material world, Krishna, we shouldn't claim that they are ours, because they are given to us by someone else, and we should not try to take more than we require. And in this way, we see that this idea of Ishavasya, it is very much connected to the idea from Bhagavad Gita of Naishkarmya, or Nishkama Karma Yoga, which means you perform your duty without desire for the result. The result is for someone else, ideally for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. So with this allotted quota, with these facilities that we have, and these facilities include also our own body and our intelligence, the qualities that we have, and also the external facilities that we work with, and our duties. All this can be used in a pious way, or directly, we can directly connect it with Krishna and perform devotional service. We have the choice. Or it can be misused just for sense gratification. For example, this is why this idea of why it is wrong to steal from others. Most of the people, they will say it's just bad. But why it is bad? Just because you have some bad feeling about it, or you have been taught like this by your parents, it is bad. One of the reasons is because everybody has his own allotted quota, and if you interfere with someone else's quota, that means you hamper his progress in life, and he'll have more difficulties to approach Krishna because you interfere with his quota that has been given to him by Krishna. In the same sense, it applies to our to the prescribed duties. If someone has a nature of a manager, for example, and he does something wrong, then what happens very often is that they will remove him from managerial position, and he won't be able to manage anymore. But this is his nature, this is his allotted quota. So this is his way to purify himself by managing for Krishna. So it is not actually, it's not progressive. So this Ishvasi principle has a low, very broad application. And it's very practical, as we can see. This kind of consciousness, Ishvasya, is the only way by which the humanity can achieve peace. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and a benefactor of and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. So we see the Ishupanishad starts with this point that we are not the Lord, because this is the way the conditioned soul thinks about himself, that he is the controller and the enjoyer, he is the Lord. And the first thing is to break this false idea. In the very beginning, the Ishvasi principle is introduced. In Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami gives a he gives many different lists of great kings from the past. And then at one point he says, there were great kings, but what is left from all these great personalities, unless they were great devotees, it's just a list of names. And in due course of time, even this list of names will disappear. And also in another place, Bhumidevi is laughing about the same thing, about these many, many kings. They were claiming that they are masters of the planet and even in the universe. But they are gone, and she's still there. She's laughing. So we are not the lords, and we are not the controllers and the enjoyers. And if we understand this, we will save us a lot of trouble. The atheists do not accept the principle of Ishvasya because they think that just by assembling and manipulating the material elements, they become their rightful proprietors. Srila Prabhupada refused this false conception. Shanti Puri, thank you.
Take, for example, our dwelling, which is made of earth, wood, stone, iron, cement, and so many other material things. We think in terms of Sri Isopanishad. We must know that we cannot produce any of these building materials ourselves. We can simply bring them together and transform them into different shapes by our labour. A labourer cannot claim to be a proprietor of a thing just because he has worked hard to manufacture it.
Thank you. It's like someone now is building your house, and imagine the house is finished, and then he claims that he's the owner of the house now, because he built it. So you spend so much resources to bring the materials together. You bought the materials. You gave him salary, and you took care of him. And you made so many arrangements, and he just built the house. And now he's claiming that this is his house. So this is what is happening in the material world. The materialists, they think that just because they happen to assemble few ingredients, now they are the owners. And we can see that people think that they are independent from God. First of all, they don't believe in God, but that's why they think they are independent. But we can see that all these real things that are really needed for a human being to exist, they cannot be manufactured by man. It's not really possible. Like, we cannot manufacture water, air, sunlight. We are dependent. And it is described in Gita, this circle, from dharma or prescribed duties, comes yagya. From yagya comes rain, and from rain
comes grain.
And food grains are the food of all living entities, directly or indirectly. So we are dependent on arrangement of Krishna. There is this funny story of one wealthy gentleman who's talking to Prabhupada, and he was, I think he was producing glass, I think, yes. So, and he was giving donation to ISKCON. He was, I think, some kind of lifetime. And Prabhupada asked him, so, where do you take, how do you produce this? Where do you take the ingredients? How do you? And he said, well, from quartz we use to make glass. So where the quartz comes from? And then they went like this for some time, and then this gentleman had said, it comes from Bhagavan, ultimately, from Krishna. Prabhupada said, that means you are a thief, because you're taking from Krishna. And then the man said, but Swamiji, I'm giving donations to your movement. Prabhupada said, that means you are a small thief. So with this mentality, if you don't recognize that you depend on God, then you can do whatever you like. This is what is happening nowadays. People just live according to their own mental speculation, and that's why there's so much clash between the Vedic and the modern, because the Vedic idea is, no, you live following the authority. And this is why people cannot accept this very often, because they just want to be independent, but they are not, which is the fun part. And it all started, at least in the West, from what they call the Renaissance. At school we were told that this is the beginning of the progressive enlightening era in the human history. But what happened actually, in fact, was that before that, for example, the arts in Europe, they were God-centered. The music, the all kinds of arts, they were just glorifying God. That was the standard. Gradually, they shifted this focus from God to man, and they call this humanism. And it's based on envy. Why God should be glorified all the time? What about us? We also have value, and we also want to enjoy. Why Krishna has to be the supreme enjoyer? We also want to enjoy. So this is what they call the one of the greatest accomplishments in the human history. They became just more narrow and so envious that everything was now about themselves. So this is the Renaissance in Europe. The Ishravasi principle can be applied in different ways according to the performer's level of spiritual advancement. For the demigod worshippers, Ishravasi would mean that they perform the authorized Vedic rituals to please the devatas. Though attached to the material world, the Karmakandis acknowledge the higher authorities in the universe and obey them. Srila Prabhupada comments on his purport to Bhagavad Gita 3.12. The demigods are authorized supplying agents on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yagyas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yagyas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the Personality of Godhead is, sacrifice to the demigods is recommended. According to different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yagyas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely, according to different qualities. More advanced than the demigod worshippers are the devotees of the Supreme Lord, who accept Him as the ultimate owner of everything and dovetail their material propensities with Him. So it's just a matter, everybody, almost everybody in this material world has material propensities, but the question is, are we going to connect this with Krishna, and do we want to be actually purified from this selfish motives, or we want to fulfill them immediately, and we'll worship the demigods, because in Bhagavad Gita Krishna explains these are the demigod worshippers are people who want immediate satisfaction of their material desires, and that's why they approach the demigods, because they don't want to lose their material passions, because they know if I approach Hari, Supreme Lord, then he's taking everything away. That means all unauspicious things for the soul, they'll be destroyed in due course of time, and they don't want this to happen. So even if we have material desires, the best is to approach Krishna and to leave the responsibility to him, in a sense that he will decide which is this part good for us, he'll keep it, or if it's detrimental to our spiritual advancement, he'll just remove it from our heart. But this requires faith, requires develop relationship with the Lord. We have to have faith that he is our best friend, and if we don't have this faith, it's very difficult to approach him. Srila Prabhupada warns us that unless we strictly abide by the Ishavasya principle, we will be considered thieves. The material energy is most expert in keeping the insincere souls away from Krishna. Therefore, a dishonest person will be exposed. As stated in the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Daivihesha Gunamai Maha Maya Duratyaya. No one can surpass the vigilance of material nature or hide his intentions from material nature. In his purports to Sri Shupanishad, Srila Prabhupada suggests yet another aspect of the Ishavasya consciousness. To accept only one's allotted quota stands not merely for taking as much resources as required. It also means that the living entity should follow the specific plan the Lord has designed for him. You want to read? You don't have to.
Every part and parcel of complete whole is endowed with some particular energy to act according to the Lord's will. When a part and parcel living entity forgets his particular activities under the Lord's will, he is considered to be in Maya, illusion. Thus, from the very beginning, Sri Shupanishad warns us to be very careful to play part designed for us by the Lord.
Thank you. To quarrel over material possessions, to snarl and bark is to be expected from cats and dogs, but the human beings are duty bound to inquire about the absolute truth. Inside this general principle, there are different sets of rules and regulations designed according to one's inherent nature. These particular obligations are meant to facilitate the process of inquiry. This mantra one establishes that knowledge and its application should go together. Okay. I don't have any questions. We'll end up here. Tomorrow. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.